folks, now to number 324. That will be our invitation song, number 324.
Bid y'all good morning. We've got a good number out with us today, even though we have a number of our normal brethren that are away from us, either sick or traveling, and we certainly miss them today. We're glad that you're here. We do have visitors among us, which you feel welcome here at the Clarksville Church of Christ, and hope you'll come out and be with us again and again. We are to the part of our worship where we will continue to honor and bring glory to God by preaching now His Word, by proclaiming out loud the words that God has spoken. The Hebrew writer said that in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, that God has spoken in these last days, spoken to us through His Son. Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48, "He that rejects me and receives not my words, have that which judgeth him, for the words that I have spoken will judge you in the last day." God's words, through God's spokesman, Jesus Christ, will judge us one day. Therefore, this morning, I will provide you book, chapter, and verse from the Bible, the words of God, for everything I got to say here today, so you might know for a fact where it is that we're getting these things, that we might be able to base our faith upon the words of God, as Paul said that we must do in Romans 10, in verse 17. The Word of God throughout the Scripture utilizes this little word I have here on the PowerPoint before you. Whosoever that the Lord and His Holy Spirit has used to teach us some lessons from the Word of God. It is one of those words that we use in everyday discussions, and we know exactly what it means. However, many times when it comes to spiritual things, we don't like what it means, and we attempt to change its definition. The word whosoever is defined as whoever, whatever person, no matter who. And so as you think about that, that pretty much encapsulates everybody, doesn't it? It doesn't matter who you are, what your stature is, or what you may do or not do on this side of eternity. When the Word of God utilizes this little word, I want you to appreciate that it applies to you. And what I'd like to do here today is I'd like to talk to us about some of the lessons that I learned from the Word of God in use of this little word. Well, where do we begin? Well, how about let's begin with the last word in Galatians, or the last verse, I should say, in Galatians 5 and verse 4 that Alan read so well a few moments ago for us. There, the Apostle Paul says, "Christ has become none effect unto you, whosoever of you wish to be justified by the law, you are fallen from grace." Whosoever attempts to justify their teaching or their lifestyle by the old law have fallen from grace. In the book of Galatians 2 and verse 21, again, the Apostle Paul there said, "If righteousness came by the law, then Jesus died in vain." There are a lot of people from a doctrinal standpoint that wish to justify their teaching through the things that were taught in the old law. You'll talk about things and they'll say, "Well, the reason they did that in the old law." And they'll give you a book, chapter, and verse from the Old Testament Scripture for justifying things that they do today. However, the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 7 and verse 18, "For on the one hand, a former commandment is now set aside because of its weakness and uselessness. For the law made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, a better hope has been introduced through which we draw nigh unto God." The will of Jesus Christ, we know of it as the New Testament, is the set of our doctrine, our precepts, our teaching, our policy, for why it is that we do the things that we do in the world today. When it comes to why it is that we worship, for instance, the way we worship, it is because we have been authorized to do that by New Testament Scripture. Let me give you an example of that. There are a lot of folks in the world today, and you may go to their worship, and they'll be utilizing instrumental music in their worship. And you might ask them, why is it that you do that? Or by what authority do you offer praise to God by utilizing instruments of music? And I'll tell you what they'll say, amongst many others, is that they get it in the Old Testament. And what I want you to understand, that whoever, whatever person, no matter who attempts to be justified by the old law, has fallen from grace. Paul said in the book of Ephesians 5 and verse 19, speaking to yourselves, that's what we do when we sing, through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's H-E-A-R-T, not H-A-R-P. Heart unto the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We have been authorized to teach and admonish one another through psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, through singing. That's the reason why it is when you come and you worship with the Clarksville Church of Christ, we will sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, teaching and admonishing one another, making melody in our heart to the Lord. And what I want you to appreciate, the reason why it is we don't go back to the old law, is by this lesson I learned from this little word, whosoever. Whosoever. Whoever. No matter what the person. No matter who. That's justified by the law. It's fallen from grace. I'll show you another one. I read in the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law. What I want to point our attention to here this morning and learn is exactly what the definition of sin is and when one commits it. I read that no matter who the person is, when they sin, they are transgressing the Word of God. There's a lot of folks in the world today that will tell you that we are born in sin. And they'll talk about that in all kinds of denominational errors, thought upon the concept that a man commits sin when he is born. However, the Scripture says, whosoever commits sin transgresses the law. In the book of Ezekiel 18 and verse 4, I read there that all souls are mine, God said. The soul of the Father, the soul of the Son, they're mine. The soul that sins, it shall die. In verse 20, the soul that sins, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither will the Father bear the iniquity of the Son, but the wickedness shall be upon the wicked, and the righteous upon the righteous. So I read there and understand the fact that I commit sin when I transgress the Word of God. Everyone is drawn away of his own lust, James said, and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, listen, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I want you to appreciate the Bible says, whosoever commits sin is the individual that is transgressing the law. But also another time, the Word of God utilizes this little phrase to teach us a very valuable lesson. It's found in the book of James chapter 4 and verse 4. In James chapter 4 and verse 4, James there says, you adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that he who has friendship with the world is at enmity with God? Here's our little word. Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Peter, in 1 Peter 1 and verse 15 said, be thou holy as I am holy. God wishes for you and I to be separated from the world. We need to understand the fact that I got to keep myself unspotted from that world. At 1 Peter 4 and verse 2 beginning, Peter there says, so as you live out the rest of your time in your body, no longer after human passions, but after the will of God. For let the time suffice that in the past when you did the will of the Gentiles, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, drinking parties, lawless idolatry, with respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery and they malign you. I need to understand that the world is going to think I'm strange when I do not run with them, and because of that, because we are different and people, as Peter predicted, malign us or speak evil of us, far too many people want to be a friend of the world. What I want you to appreciate what James says, whosoever wishes to be a friend of the world, listen, is an enemy of God. Now let me tell you something for sure. You do not want to be an enemy of God. And when I find myself trying to be a friend of the world, the Word of God tells me I am an enemy of God. Therefore, I beseech you, brethren, Paul said in Romans 12, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That should be verses 1 and 2. And not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not conform yourself after the lust and the lifestyles of this world. Someone said, now wait a second, that don't apply to me. I go to church where it says Church of Christ on the building. Whosoever, whatever person, no matter who wishes to be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. But also, listen to what John says about this word. He utilizes this word in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15. When he begins it in the King James Version, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know not that a murderer hath eternal, or no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Think about that. Whatever person, whoever, no matter who, that hates his brother is a murderer. Now that's a pretty strong language. But I want you to understand that all John there is doing is emulating that the words that Jesus had on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, beginning of verse 21. When he says, you've heard it old saying, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of hell. But I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Jesus there on that occasion equates those who are angry without cause with a brother and a murderer on the same line. But I say unto you, whoever is angry with his brother without cause is in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, or that is empty head or stupid, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. What I want you to understand, that just because you have not literally stuck a knife in somebody's body and taken their life, that God says that if you hate your brother or you love not your brother, you are a murderer. And that's the reason why Jesus would say in John 13 and 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, even so do ye. For the world will know you are my disciples if you have love. That is the calling card of the child of God. In 1 John 4 and verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that is loves is born of God and knows God. For he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. If any man say, I love God, and does not love his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother who he has seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him. We just read it a few moments ago. That he that loveth God loveth also his brother. An act of goodwill toward our fellow man, especially those of the household of faith. And it doesn't matter what it is you've done in the past, how much money you have, or how well you lead singing, or what a wordy prayer you pray. If you do not love your brother, but you say you love God, you're a liar. And John says that we are a murderer. Whoever, whatever person, no matter who, finds themselves in that condition, finds them that way in the sight of God. But there's a fourth one, if you're keeping count, or a fifth one, I should say, if you're keeping count correctly, as I am, that I wanted you to understand here this morning. And that one is found in the book of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 25, when Jesus there says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Someone says, what in the world is he talking about there? Have you ever known somebody that just wants to kind of hold on to their life? Whatever it is that they've got, they just want to grasp hold of that. Maybe many times they're like those who kind of like those old Stroh's beer commercials they had back when I was growing up. When they said, you only go away one time. Grab all the gusto you can. That is, whatever it is that you can find to do from a passion standpoint, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, I'm going to grab a hold of that, and I'm going to hold on to that, and I'm going to do what's mine, and I'm going to keep what's mine. Reminds me of a fellow one time in Mark chapter 10 and verse 17 that came running up to Jesus. You know him as the rich young ruler. So when he came forward, there came one running and kneeled before him and said, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why call ye me thou good? There's none good but God." That, listen, you know the commandments. Don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And this man answered and said, "Master, all these things I have observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Loved him. Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatever you have, give it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. Come, take up your cross and follow me." And he was sad, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. So what I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, is right there is a flesh and blood illustration of this Penitent teaching that I'm trying to grab a hold of here this morning. It doesn't matter who you are, no matter what person, no matter who, not even one who had kept the commandments from his youth. If you try to save your life, you shall lose it. This man had great possessions. He had not only a lot of money, he obviously had all the power, all the prestige, all the comfort of this life that those things would afford. And he would not give them up. He squeezed them with all of his might so that he might not lose it. And he declined to follow Jesus. Some of the saddest words are found in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10 when Paul there said, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." You see, he wanted to save his life. Demas saw his life passing before him. What am I wasting my time here with this man in prison? There are so many other things that life, my life, can give me. And I'm going to save it while I still can. But I want you to appreciate that Jesus said, "Whosoever will save his life shall lose it." It does not matter how smart you are. Or, you know, a lot of times we think, "Well, yeah, it didn't work out for them, but it'll work out for me." What was that definition? Any person, whoever, no matter who. And what I want you to understand is that means you. If you try to save your life, you will lose it. But on the other hand, at the end of that verse, I read, "Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." There's the oxymoronic statements of all the Bible. If you are willing to lose your life, you will find it. And isn't it amazing how it is that there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the ends thereof death, as the wise man said in Proverbs 14 and 12. And what it seems right to me is that I'm going to save my life. I'm going to grasp a hold of the things in my life. But Jesus said, if you're willing to let go of your life, you will find it. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 28, Peter said, "We have left all to follow you." And Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," again, flesh and blood teaching, or illustration of this Penitent teaching, "there is no man," insert the word "whosoever," "there is no man that has left a house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive 100 now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, everlasting life." Listen, if you will, watch this. Flesh and blood illustration demonstrated to us by the Savior through the Apostle Peter. You lose your life for my sake. That's where your life will be found. Whosoever
whoever, whatever person, no matter who, will lose their life for my sake, will find it. I had a friend I was driving with one time coming back from a meeting in Bloomington, Indiana, and he asked the question, if I went to your church, would I have to stop drinking? Would I have to stop chewing tobacco? Would I have to stop smoking? What was he asking? Do I have to give up my life? This is my life. This is how I choose to live my life. Of course, the answer to all of those is you got to give it up. So likewise, whosoever, he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has, cannot be my disciple. There are some hard lessons taught by this little word in the Word of God. Whosoever will lose his life, will find it. And finally, found in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 21, Peter there says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There was a time when the Jews were called God's chosen people. And what I want us to understand here this morning, the blessedness of the blessed calling of the gospel, that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord can be saved. For there is no difference, Paul said, between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is over all, who is rich unto all them that call upon them. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10, 12 through 13. I don't care who it is that you've been in this life. I don't care all the failures that you had, the bad things that you've done. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I perceive, Peter there said, that God is not a respecter of person, but in every nation, he that feareth him and works righteousness shall be accepted by him. You here this morning can be accepted of your God if you will call upon his name. Now, he's not talking about just simply saying, Lord, Lord. No, matter of fact, he even said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, allowing the Bible to be his own commentary. Those who will be obedient to the gospel calls upon the name of the Lord. In Acts 22, in verse 16, Paul was asked, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14, whereunto he's called you by our gospel. The gospel of Christ calls each and every one of us this morning, whoever, no matter the person, no matter who, to come to the Savior this morning. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. That quietness, that peace that passes all understanding, that can guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And you can have that this morning. Those of you who are here in the assembly, those who are watching online, those who may be listening on a CD, whoever, whatever person, no matter who, if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, can be saved. You've listened well this morning. I appreciate that very much. There's a lot of lessons that we're going to learn here this day from this idea of whosoever. Whosoever be justified by the law is fallen by from grace. Whosoever commits sin transgresses the law. Whosoever wishes to be a friend of the world is in enmity with God. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Whosoever shall save his life will lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life will find it. And whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if we've learned these lessons here this morning, I think our time has been spent very profitably. We're about to stand to sing a song of invitation and encourage you this morning to be obedient to the gospel call and to call upon the name of the Lord. Jesus said, go into the world, preach this good news. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. It's a wonderful opportunity to confess your faith. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we'll baptize you for the remission of your sins. We extend that invitation to you. Sing this song and encourage you. Accept him in any way. Come forward now as we stand and sing.
While through his word he calls to come.